Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me today on the Thornton Investigation. Today, we're going to go over some of the gun laws in Wisconsin. They are a little bit convoluted, and we're going to see if Kyle Rittenhouse really did have the right to not only carry a gun, but defend himself, because some of the charges on Kyle are actually murder when he was, as far as I'm concerned, defending himself. And you can look at what I posted on the Thornton Investigation radio show on Facebook, provided it's still up and running. Yes, I'm having a few problems with the, tech know-it-alls. And apparently I'm not qualified to comment on social issues. Now, how they're qualified to decide whether or not I'm qualified is another story. But I've gone by the rules and I've removed some posts and I've done other things that they've asked me to do. So we'll see how it goes. I think it kind of angered them when I commented on the riots in Sweden, because as far as they were concerned, I had no knowledge of the societal issues in Sweden. Little do they know, I'm from Sweden. So I think I know a little bit about it. Well, let's get back to Kyle Rittenhouse. Was Kyle Rittenhouse legally allowed to carry this rifle in Wisconsin? Because that sets the stage for everything else before we even think about whether or not he was legally defending himself. Now, as I said, the gun laws in Wisconsin are a little convoluted, and they have open carry, so people can walk down the streets carrying a rifle, which I actually don't agree with. As I said, I'm also a former police officer and former military police from America. And I actually don't agree with that. I don't see any reason why anyone needs to walk down the street carrying a rifle. I just want to get that disclaimer out front. I know that might make a few people unhappy with me, but I really don't care. Now, Kai was charged with possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under the age of 18. And the Wisconsin section is 948.60. And section 2... A is what he was actually charged with. Let's look at that a little bit. Any person under 18 years of age who possesses or goes armed with a dangerous weapon is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. You know, as I said before, these laws are a little convoluted. And whatever that means, possesses or goes armed with a dangerous weapon, I don't know what that actually means. Because later on, it talks about all about how people under the age of 18 are allowed to possess weapons. So that doesn't really make any sense, now does it? Possesses or goes armed. Goes armed where? Goes armed in their house? Goes armed in their backyard? Goes armed on a shooting range? Because those things are all legal. So I think the Wisconsin DA is going to have a little bit of a problem with this one. And, you know, of course, people under the age of 18 are allowed to go hunting and they're allowed to go to a shooting range. So they're going armed with a dangerous weapon. That section really doesn't make any sense. And just a little side note here, and before we get back to that, look at that just a little bit more again. You know, in section B, it says, except as provided in part C, any person who intentionally sells, loans, or gives a dangerous weapon to a person under 18 years of age is guilty of a class 1 felony. So I'm wondering if whoever gave Kyle this weapon, because he apparently had legally possessed it in the state of Wisconsin and it did not cross state lines, according to his lawyer, I'm wondering if that person is going to be charged later on as well. If they have not been charged, then it's starting to sound like Kyle legally possessed that weapon and he was legally allowed to go down the street with it. We just don't know just yet. But getting back to these Wisconsin gun laws, I want to go to an article in a Wisconsin newspaper that I think will also help convolute it even a little more, actually. Oh, man. And this is out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is an article by Bruce Vilmetti. And this is on August 28th. So it was just published a few days ago. What to know about Wisconsin's open carry laws, self-defense, more in Kenosha protest shootings, and we're just going to hit some of the highlights. We're not going to go through all of it. Was it legal to carry a rifle at the protest? If a person is not otherwise prohibited from possessing a firearm, it is legal to carry any legal firearm openly in Wisconsin. So right there, so far so good. Now we're going to go down to talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. And the title says, could the suspect carry the rifle legally? under Wisconsin statutes that say anyone under 18 who goes armed, in parentheses, with any deadly weapon is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. Kyle Rittenhouse is 17. He was not old enough to legally carry the assault rifle he had. Now we're going to go to a little bit of a disclaimer. But John Monroe, a lawyer who specializes in gun right cases, believes there is an exception for rifles and shotguns, intended to allow people age 16 and 17 to hunt, which could apply. Well, how could that be? Let's look to the next line. It says, Tom Grebe, a Milwaukee defense lawyer who also specializes in gun cases, agreed the exception might apply beyond hunting, but said that part of the law is poorly drafted. He said he would argue to apply a rule of law that interprets ambiguous criminal statutes in favor of the defendant. So right there, it's looking like this charge that the DA gave Kyle Rittenhouse probably going to get thrown out. And quite honestly, I hope it does. I think Kyle was protecting himself. I think he was protecting other people. And if the politicians were doing their jobs, the average citizen wouldn't have to go out there with a gun and protect the area, because the police would be doing it, the National Guard would be doing it, and quite frankly, that's who's supposed to be doing it, but it's not their fault, it's the politician's fault. I just want to move on to a little bit more of a section of this article before we move on to something else. Was Rittenhouse acting in self-defense when he fired his weapon? Many gun right advocates believe he was, based only on watching the video, but that would ultimately be a question for a jury to answer. Nick Clark, president and CEO of Wisconsin Carry a Gun Rights Advocacy Group, who instructs classes for those obtaining concealed carry permits, thinks Rittenhouse followed the principle of such courses. We teach to retreat when possible, Clark said, which he obviously was. If you look at the video, and we're going to discuss the videos in just a second, he obviously was retreating several times. He was fleeing, but the threat follows him. He thought Rittenhouse showed restraint in not immediately shooting one of the people he later shot in the elbow after the man first halted his approach to Rittenhouse and then lunged at him. Others would likely argue that people going after Rittenhouse in the street after the first shooting were attempting to detain him for the police or get him to drop the gun and would avoid further shootings. Yeah. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe they were trying to stop Kyle. I don't think that they were trying to do so in order to stop further shootings. Quite honestly, I think they were trying to kill Kyle. And the guy who was shot in the arm, basically got his bicep blown off, actually admitted that. He wanted to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. So that's not going to be a defense for them whatsoever. And when this gets to trial, and it will, Kyle's lawyers are going to have a field day with this, because he was absolutely acting in self-defense. And that's something I wanted to go over with the videos, because if you look at them out of sequence, or you don't look at all of them, you can't quite get the full picture. And apparently the DA did not get the full picture either, because within, what, 2 days, he charged Kyle with all these charges, and Kyle's looking at life in prison. But I really do believe that the lawyer for Kyle Rittenhouse is going to get him off these charges, and I really do hope so. Did Kyle have a legal right to be there? Well, of course. Anyone has a legal right to be walking down the street unless there is some other law, such as a curfew or something else, preventing you from do so. Yes, he did. Now, what people don't understand is, when some of my listeners have commented on my Facebook, thank you very much, Kyle only lived 15 miles away from that location, and he was working as a lifeguard that day. After working as a lifeguard, he went with some friends to clean off some graffiti on the side of a wall. And there's pictures of this, so this can all be proven. Kyle also gives first aid. He had a first aid kit with him. Kyle went to the, basically, riot section of Kenosha that night, and he was administering first aid, and there's going to be proof of that, so that's not going to be a problem. If you look at the videos in sequence, you will see that Kyle was actually running to put out a dumpster fire at a car lot, and as Kyle comes running in the video, you hear a gunshot, and this is a gunshot from the far left corner of the video, and you can see it's a handgun by the looks of things, and it almost looks like someone's shooting either up in the air or at Kyle. As Kyle runs into the video, gets to the car lot, you see someone else running into the car lot with a shirt over his head, and that ended up being Jojo Rosenbaum, who is a convicted sex offender and has a whole bunch of other crimes he's been convicted of. He's a wonderful man, by the way. 36. What the heck was he doing out there, by the way? He was an angel, I know. According to the complaint against Kyle, Rosenbaum threw something instead of a plastic bag at it with something in it at Kyle, I probably believe that it's going to be a Molotov cocktail of some type. Rosenbaum came flying into the video there at a very high rate of speed. And according to McGinnis, who was the witness to this, is the only witness that the DA has, he grabbed the barrel and was trying to get the rifle from Kyle. And that's why you see a few shots hit him in the lower section of his body through his pelvis. And then the last one hit him in the head because he was trying to get the gun away from Kyle when Kyle had the gun barrel facing face down towards the ground. And somehow during the struggle, it ended straight up and also shot him in the head. We don't even know yet if Kyle shot that firearm or if Rosenbaum's fingers got in there too. That's something we don't know yet. We're going to wait for the investigation. Unfortunately, it's a little difficult right now to check the fingerprints on that gun after everything that's happened. Now, later on in this video, you see Kyle running out of there when people come running at him and yelling and swearing at him. And he runs down the street. You see one person attacking him. You see him stumble. You see the next person hit him over the head. And that guy was the guy who ended up getting killed. He ended up getting shot in the heart because he was trying to kill him basically with that skateboard. And then the last person who got shot in the bicep had a handgun. And we're going to look at him a little bit too because apparently he's a convicted felon himself and he's not allowed to have a handgun, yet he had one. And I'm very, very curious why he hasn't been charged with that, by the way, because the pictures are there. We know he had a handgun and he even admitted he wanted to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. So how can Kyle not be shooting in self-defense? It makes no sense to me. Now, the man who Kyle shot in the bicep, who I said had that handgun, his name was Gage. He's 26 years old, and Gage has been identified as the third person who allegedly shot by Kyle Rittenhouse. Interestingly enough, this person is a volunteered as a medic for BLM protest in Milwaukee this summer, and friends have said that he was helping that night. Now, just a little bit of background on this Gage guy. He is a member of a social justice group called the People's Revolution Movement of Milwaukee. I don't even know what to say about that. It's not a social justice group, okay? Let's just say what it is. It's one of the many groups now in this country and one of the many groups that have been involved in all these protests and anarchy movements. And that's what they are. They're an anarchy group. And I've looked at them on their website, but the website is very, very vague and it doesn't really talk about what they actually are. But as we all know with the left, they're always opposite of what they are. If they say they're for social justice, that means they're not. So we'll see as the story develops and why he hasn't been charged yet. But the information is that he's a convicted felon himself, and why he had a handgun that night remains to be seen. But I think in order to get a more clear view of this case, we have to look at the Kenosha DA in this case, because if he's prosecuting this case, we should know who he is, what he's about, and we should know a little bit about some of his history, because some of his history doesn't sound very good, but I'm going to let you be the judge of that. In an article out of Red State News, and this is posted by Scott Hounsell, as more details coming out about Kyle Rittenhouse are released, we have to look at the judgment of the DA who filed the charges against him. Included in the court filing establishing the charges are numerous claims that Rittenhouse was attacked before he was ever fired a shot. District Attorney Michael Gravely's filing suggests that Rittenhouse hadn't threatened anyone prior to being rushed by Joseph Rosenbaum, who was subsequently shot and killed by Rittenhouse. The DA's filing also was woefully short on details, saying Rosenbaum threw a plastic bag at Rittenhouse, but in the video evidence clearly showed the bag had items in which it could have injured Rittenhouse. He also says it appears Gage Groskrutsky, or whatever his name is, was holding a firearm, but despite the lack of video supported the explanation of complaint, still lays the clear details that Rittenhouse didn't fire a single shot at anyone who didn't pose a threat to him. Kenosha County District Attorney Michael Gravely has a history of filing charges against those who were likely defending themselves. Ooh, this is important. This is something that I don't think you have seen in the mainstream media, and I doubt you will because it contradicts their narrative that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist who just came to a BLM peaceful protest and start shooting up the places, which is essentially what the media is saying. Randall P. Volar was a resident of Kenosha County when he used a website, later confiscated by the FBI, to target and traffic numerous young black women before 2018. In early 2018, he was arrested, charged, and released on bail for the trafficking of these young black girls, some as young as 12. He's a really great guy. No, he's not. He's a scumbag. In June 2018, after meeting with one of his victims at his house, he allegedly attempted to rape her, at which point the girl's name is Crystal Keezer, shot Bolar, and lit his house on fire and fled the scene. Now we're going to hear about how the DA treated that case. Keezer was arrested and charged with Volker's murder, and her bail was set at $1 million. After 2 years in jail, Keezer was released on a reduced bail of $400,000 raised from various trafficking victims and criminal justice organizations. While it was noted that Keezer's trial had not publicly presented the details of the strength of the prosecution's case, several legal groups from around the country sent letters in condemnation of Gravely. And you know, we always hear about how the lawyer guilds are going after Bill Barr and how they're going after other people saying how bad Bill Barr is and how he should be impeached. Well, let's see what the National Lawyers Guild chapter at Harvard said to Gravely. Your actions to date in the Crystal Keezer case stood in grave breach of those professional responsibilities. Crystal was a 17-year-old girl when she killed the 34-year-old man who had been raping and physically abusing her. She deserves empathy and support for this horrible abuse. Sound discretion and justice in this case would clearly look like dropping the charges so she can move on with her life and recover. You have a duty to improve and seek the reform of the prosecutor's office. Well, I don't think he did. What do you think? And I think it's only fair that we get to the update on this Crystal Keezer case. And this is an article in the New York Post by Joshua Rhett Miller. And we're just going to hit the highlights in this one. Crystal Keezer, 19, was freed from jail in Kenosha County Monday after nearly 2 years behind bars in the shooting death of Randall P. Bolar III, whom she confessed to fatally shooting in 2018. Keezer maintains that she acted in self-defense and shot him twice in the head and set the house on fire after he drugged her, pinned her to the ground to rape her, as she had explained the incident. And right now there is no trial date set for this case. This is an article out of June 23rd, 2020, so it's a very recent, and there's no new news actually on this case. Sorry about that. I thought there was a much better update on it. Now, let's get to how some of these BLM and other anarchist groups have been acting. Apparently, when you leave the RNC convention, you can get mobbed and possibly even hurt very badly. And that's exactly what happened to Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul he's more of in the center. He's a libertarian, but the crowd that attacked him that night knew who he was, which is exactly why they attacked him. I'm going to give you a little bit of a sound clip from the actual scene that night. Clip number one. Action.
Wait a second. I know who that is. I know who that is.
Say her name.
Say her name. Say her name.
You're not gonna say her name.
So that was just a little taste of what it's like to be mobbed by a bunch of unhinged crazies. And what these unhinged crazies were trying to get Rand Paul to say was, say her name, say her name. What they're referring to was Breonna Taylor, who was recently killed in a police shooting when the police came into her apartment on a warrant. The guy that she was with shot at the police, and the police shot back and she ended up being killed. But as we've seen from these unhinged crazies and what the left has been doing a lot of lately is we must bow to them. We must drop to one knee when they tell us to drop to one knee. We must wear a mask when they tell us we should wear a mask. And even if you're the president of the United States and you're trying to give a press conference, leftist protesters, propaganda party journalists are allowed to interrupt the president and yell, hey, put on a mask, because these journalists can tell the president of the United States what to do. So what these unhinged nuts were trying to do that night was get Rand Paul to say what they wanted him to say. And this is how the left controls you. You must say what they want you to say. You must wear what they want you to wear. You must do what they want you to do. And if you don't, they will attack you until you do. So what they were trying to do was get Rand Paul to say Breonna Taylor's name. What they don't know is Rand Paul, being the centrist and the libertarian that he is, actually was against this no-knock warrant, which Breonna Taylor got killed in. What they didn't realize is he was actually on their side, but they're just too unhinged to realize that. Let's go to Rand Paul discussing this unhinged crowd attacking him. Clip number five. Action.
The policemen were forming a barricade with their bodies. I whispered to the policeman, they know who I am. You've got to get reinforcements. It's going to get worse. He called for reinforcements, but we didn't get any reinforcements. We waited, but the crowd was getting bigger and bigger and pushing in. They were yelling threats. They were trying to push the police over to get to me. They were grabbing at us, and it got worse and worse and worse. And they were shouting threats, you know, to us, to kill us, to hurt us. But they're also shouting, say her name, Breonna Taylor. And it's like, you couldn't reason with this mob, but I'm actually the author of the Breonna Taylor law to end no-knock raids. So the irony is lost on these idiots that they're trying to kill the person who's actually trying to get rid of no-knock raids. And they were shouting and screaming.
Sorry about the background noise on that. That is actually Rand Paul discussing what happened that night on a TV show, and in the background they're actually playing the clip so you can hear some of the crowd being unhinged and carrying on. The point is they were attacking them, threatening to kill them. They were attacking the police, and this can't go on. This cannot go on. This lawlessness cannot go on. And if you remember, I had played a clip for you, probably a few months ago, where Mad Maxine Waters was on a street corner with a microphone yelling at people saying, hey, if you see anyone from this administration, you get out of your car and you gather a crowd and you push back on them and you let them know they're not wanted here. They're not wanted anywhere anymore. Not in a grocery store, not in a gas station, not in a restaurant. And that's exactly what started happening. As you know, that many people within the Trump administration started having that problem every time they went to a restaurant. So we have Democrats approving of violence, approving of attacking people, approving of even threatening people. Where does this end? Well, I would hope it would end with a reasonable discussion on a civil society. We cannot continue going on like this. If you have a difference of opinion on some sort of a political opinion, that's fine. You have your opinion, I have mine. You want to express your opinion somewhere out on the street, that's fine. But you can't expect me to stand there and listen to you. You can't expect me to be forced to say whatever it is you want me to say. I don't try to force you to say whatever it is I want you to say. And you most certainly cannot threaten to kill anyone. You most certainly cannot attempt to kill anyone. You most certainly cannot grab somebody's rifle and take it from them in order to kill them. And that is the problem that we're seeing right now. That's what we're seeing in Kenosha, where Rosenbaum was attacking Kyle Rittenhouse, attempting to take his rifle, and he got killed in the process. He was 36 years old. He never should have been out there that night. And there's other videos of him threatening people that night, and there's other videos of him egging people on, trying to get them to shoot him. Well, when you go looking for trouble, sometimes you find it. And those three gentlemen that night that went looking for trouble with Kyle Rittenhouse found it. And don't expect me to shed any tears over them, because I don't. Now, in the little bit of time we have left, I want to go to one of our favorite parts of the show. It is called The Professor from the Podium. And we're going to go to Kylie McEnany and how she handles the press, because she's just awesome. I think she is absolutely fantastic. I am so happy that the Trump administration found her. And I certainly hope President Trump gets reelected and she stays. Let's go to The Professor at the Podium, handling the journalist. Doesn't need much more of a setup than that. Cut to 12. Action.
I want to ask you about one of the president's other tweets this weekend. He took or retweeted a video of a caravan of people driving into Portland with Trump and American flags flying. He called them great patriots. What about that image does the president see as patriotic? And ostensibly, you're talking about people going into a city in which they don't live, presumably to protect property they don't own. What's patriotic about that activity?
The president was highlighting that these were good Americans.
Wait a minute. I got to cut off Kylie right there. This knucklehead journalist said, what is patriotic about going into a location that you do not live and protecting property that you do not own? That is not patriotic to go help someone else out who needs help and help them protect their property if they're not capable of doing so. That is not patriotic according to this idiot. Unbelievable. He sure would love it if these unhinged protesters were coming and attacking his property. He sure would want someone who didn't own his property to come and help him, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. He's an idiot. Let's go back to what Kylie McEnany's answer is. Kylie's just amazing. Yep.
These were good Americans going in to peacefully be a part of a protest and show their voice. And, you know, that's what he was noting by the tweet and highlighting the video, which he routinely does.
What about the video of them scuffling, shooting paintballs at people, getting in the mix with people? Is that patriotic activity?
I don't think the president's seen that video, nor have I. But if you're going to ask about paintballs, it's incredible that for 90 days I've stood at this podium talking about officers who have been lasers flashed in their eyes in an attempt to blind them, commercial grade fireworks being thrown at them, a church right out here burning down, the people that were harassed and yelled at, Senator Rand Paul, Dan Bongino, right out here. And you're going to ask me about a paintball video when, in fact, for 90 days we've seen horrific violence by Antifa, a radical anarchist organization.
Wow. Kylie, got him again. That's going to be her new nickname. Kylie, got him again. She is so much smarter than everyone else in that White House press corps. It is not patriotic to help someone else out, protect their property, but it is patriotic to go out there and act like an unhinged protester and attack people and threaten to kill them. Like I said, we talked about Rand Paul and how he even said they were threatening to kill him. Attacking Dan Bongino, that's the first time I heard of that. That's not going to end well. Don't attack Dan Bongino. He's an ex-NYPD officer, ex-Secret Service officer, and by the looks of him, he really does work out. You want to attack Dan Bongino? As I said before, you're going to go looking for trouble. You're going to find it because Dan Bongino can give it to you. I just want to close the show with saying that we all need to come together. We need to stop this unhinged protesting, this attempting to kill people, threatening people, grabbing people's rifles, attempting to kill them, throwing Molotov cocktails at people, laser lights at police officers, attacking them with commercial grade fireworks, all this craziness. It needs to stop. I know Facebook says I'm not allowed to talk about social issues because I'm not qualified to talk about a social issue, but guess what? I'm going to keep talking anyways, and as long as you keep listening and supporting me, it's going to continue to happen, no matter what Facebook says. And if I get completely caught off in Facebook, then I get completely caught off. I don't really care. Thank you very much for joining me today on the Thorne Investigation. Have a nice day.